Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom from the heartland of Israel. This is David Ha'ivri on Israel News Talk Radio every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time on A Hebrew in the Heartland. Today, we're going to have not two, not three, but four very special guests. We're going to start the show speaking with Ayub Kara, member of Knesset in the Likud party, minister of the government of Israel, minister of communication, who oversees the regional cooperation issues and Israel's relations with the continent of Africa. Last week, he traveled with Prime Minister Netanyahu to Kenya for the inauguration event for the President Kenyatta in Kenya, and he met with African leaders, declared on the opening of a new embassy in Africa. So we're going to be speaking with Ayub Kara about Israel's relations with Africa. We'll also be speaking about his vision for normalization in the Middle East and a pact between Israel, Saudi Arabia, and the United States. This is going to be very interesting. We're going to be speaking with a Israeli woman who is an officer in the IDF. She completed her army service and went to defend Israel in the hotbed of anti-Israel activism at Columbia University. Ophir Dayan is at Columbia University, and she is pinkwashing the pinkwashers. She will be explaining what all of those terms mean. So we'll be speaking with Ophir. We'll also be speaking with a YouTuber, an American conservative woman, who calls herself Analytical Chick. And Analytical Chick and I collabed. We shared podcasts. So she'll be on our show, and I'll also be on her show on YouTube. I'll be sharing a link in the description section, and we'll be speaking about the relations between Israel and American Reform Judaism. We'll also be speaking, and this is a surprise, we have an Israeli music lover who is a Pakistani, and we'll be speaking with Samar Iqbal, who is in Pakistan, and he loves Israeli music. So that should be a surprise. Stay tuned. We're going to have an exciting show. We're taking a break for the news, and then we will be right back. So don't go away. Shalom from the heartland.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Okay, everyone, today we have a very special opportunity to speak with a Israeli public figure who I hold for high, high regard, one of the people who I most respect in the Israeli political scene, Israel's Minister of Communications, member of Knesset, Ayub Kara. Welcome onto the show.
Thank you, David. Thank you very much.
Ayub, I'm calling to ask you about Israel's relations with Africa in particular. Last week, you visited Kenya together with our Prime Minister, Mr. Benjamin Netanyahu. Can you tell us about that visit?
Yes, I think this is an important meeting between the Prime Minister Netanyahu and all the leadership in Africa. I take part in this meeting, and it was great, very supporting. Very loyalist to Netanyahu, this leadership, and it met a lot of leadership, different presidents and different prime ministers, and they are saying loudly. I was beside the Prime Minister Netanyahu, and they say loudly how much they important for them the future of Israel, the future of the Jewish public. And of course, this is make different pictures about the situation that the media trying to do, that Israel did not have cooperation and their policy is very bad in the world. I think Israel never have a relationship like what I'm seeing in my eyes this week. And the Prime Minister Netanyahu do all the best.
I have been following your efforts to strengthen the relationship between African nations and Israel for many years. I actually once traveled with you to Nigeria, and I saw how you work effortlessly to build these relationships.
Yes.
Reports were that Mr. Netanyahu was the only non-African world leader who came to the inauguration of President Kenyatta in Kenya. How do the Africans view Israel's special relationship towards them?
Look, President Kenyatta give very respect for Netanyahu. They have good relationship between the both. Okay, and so I feel in this trip that Netanyahu have best relationship with Kenyatta. They also meeting two times in the same day. They sitting each beside the other, and Kenyatta give only the one leader to speech to Netanyahu in this meeting. And of course, this is give a different weather around the visit of Netanyahu in this big meeting with different leadership in Africa. That I think after I left, they speaking in four eyes in different things. And I'm sure that they cooperate with different important discrete issues that important for the two states, Israel and Kenya. And I think the relationship going and grow more and more. I think in at last we found that in Kenya is the one of the important states with their cooperation with Israel. But again, all the leadership in this meeting, they like and they do all everything to meet with Netanyahu. And that mean the process that Israel going to Africa and Africa come to Israel, as all the time saying Netanyahu, they become a reality. There are more and more president and leadership support Israel. This is, I'm feeling very, very well in this meeting.
I wanted to ask you about the announcement of the opening of a new embassy in Rwanda as people try to scare Israel and say we are becoming isolated. We see that Israel is strengthening relationships with more countries. Do you expect Israel to open embassies in additional countries after Rwanda?
Yes, I was in this meeting with Netanyahu when he speak to President of Rwanda. Rwanda so much need the embassy from Israeli embassy in the capital of Rwanda. And we talking about that. I think this is mean that Rwanda, as a one of the important states in Africa and in all the world that support Israel, important to make the relationship more strong, more activity. And of course, Netanyahu, as the Prime Minister of Israel, he agreed to open embassy. I think in June we're going to open this embassy. It's I think they're going to be one of the important embassies in Africa. That means that in Ethiopia stay embassy in Addis Ababa, and other embassy going to be beside it in Rwanda.
Minister of Communications and Oversee Regional Cooperation, Minister Ayub Kara, now that we're speaking about embassies, I wanted to ask you, we hear in the news that President Trump of the United States must make a decision regarding moving the American embassy to Israel's capital in Jerusalem. What is your opinion on this matter, and how will this affect Israel's position in the region?
Look, I'm very important guy in Israel that support all the policy of President Trump. I'm not objective, but I'm sure in this decision, President Trump make more legitimacy and more power for Israel as he become again to his decision to that the embassy of United States move to Jerusalem. This is one of the important decisions between Israel and U.S. And I'm sure that President Trump say for all the people that sending every day different messages against them, that he, when he say something, he do it. He's a very activity. It's important for them, Israel. It's important for them, Jerusalem has east and west complete Jerusalem. That means the future of Israel and the relationship between Israel and U.S. going together. No one could cut it. No one going to agree about any compromise from the side of America in the peace process in the future. One thing in this message, Israel has to, Israel as the government of the Likud party, as Netanyahu, the President Trump say, we support you, support Israel. Important for us, your future.
Minister of Communication, Ayub Kara, you have a very important position in the leadership of Israel, being a representative of the minority Arabic-speaking Druze community. And this gives you the ability to interact on behalf of Israel freely with Arabic-speaking neighbors in the region. What do you foresee regarding the process of normalization for Israel in the region?
Look, it's not a discredit that I have the important position in the government in this process. Important for me, I believe that Israel have to move to a new direction with a relationship with what we call the Saudi Arabian coalition. It's something that must happen because now we have big fighting in the Islam world, and the one thing that could stop the third war here in the Middle East and in all the world is that Israel and U.S. Cooperation with all the Sunni regime that the majority in the Islam world. And in this process, I think President Trump, different from Obama, he could go to new process with no the Palestinian issue, because the Palestinian issue not going to any movement. So I think next year is very important for all these sides. They have to check hands. I mean, the Saudi Arabian coalition, Israel and U.S. against Iran. Iran more and more, support the extremism in every corner, including Hezbollah and Hamas and other, and the jihad, and some coalition like Saudi Arabian coalition, Israel and U.S., only the solution for to stop this extremism.
Minister of Israel, Ayub Kara, I want to thank you for being with us on the show. And of course, I thank you for all of the work that you do on behalf of the people of Israel. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much again.
And that was Ayub Kara, a minister in the government of Israel, one of the Israeli politicians who I most respect. He is a true patriot, a true lover of Israel. And the Druze community, for those of you who are not familiar, is an Arabic-speaking community based mostly in northern Israel. This community sees itself and as tied to the destiny of Israel. Their young men enlist into the IDF. They are drafted just the same as the young men in the Israeli society. I appreciate Ayub and his dedication to the state of Israel and to our people and all of the work that he does. Stay tuned. After the break, we're going to be speaking with an Israeli woman who is at Columbia University on the front lines fighting for Israel, Ophir Dayan. This is going to be interesting. So we're taking a short commercial break and come right back.
If you want to hear the news behind the news and the true perspective on world affairs as they affect Israel, then the Walter Bingham File is the program for you. We bring you interviews with the movers and shakers, political commentaries, and on-the-spot reports of events as they happen. All here every Thursday at 5 p.m. Israel time. And it's all archived on the station's website. I am Walter Bingham. Make it a date.
So today we're doing a collaboration with Analytical Chick, who is a YouTuber, and she's an American Jewish young woman, has a YouTube channel, and she podcasts on YouTube about current events and politics and issues that are out there. Analytical Chick, tell us about your YouTubing.
I started my channel a few months back. I had been trying to do research for other channels. Then an incident came in the United States where I called for jihad against Jews. And that was when I realized my non-Jewish people that I was doing research for wouldn't want to do a video on it. And I decided to figure out what it would need, and I jumped in and opened my own channel, mostly because to do a video about that. And then I realized I have next to no people to watch it, so that next time something like this happens, people can actually find out about it from me.
That's great. So how long have you been doing this?
In the beginning of August.
You've been doing it since the beginning of August, so that's less than say 6 months. And how many followers have you got now on YouTube?
I just passed 600.
600. That's amazing. And how often do you YouTube?
I do at least one video a week, but I think I have like 70-some videos up. I think it averages out to like 4 or 5 videos a week.
Great. I'm glad that you chose to collab with me. And I'm going to get my listeners on Israel News Talk Radio know about your YouTube channel, and maybe you'll get some more subs.
That would be awesome.
All right, everyone. Today, we have a very special guest on the show, a young woman who is from the Shomron. She grew up here and served in the IDF as an officer. And after she completed her national service in the IDF, she went to complete her studies in university in America. Her parents are also good friends of mine who are very active in the public service on behalf of Israel. And we see that Ophir Dayan is making her own waves. Ophir, thank you on the show.
Hi. Hi, David. How are you?
I am good. Thank you. Ophir, please tell our listeners a little bit about your background. Where are you from? Where did you grow up?
So I grew up and I was living until 5 months ago in Maale Shomron. It's a small community of religious and secular Jews living together. It was a great experience that shaped the person I became today. I was an instructor in Beitar, the youth movement, and I even postponed my military service in a year in order to do a year of volunteering in Beitar. And later, after I finished my service, I was an officer in the IDF spokesperson unit. I served for almost 4 years. And then I decided that I'm not tired of the fight of Israel, for Israel. I've served during Operation Protective Edge, as I said, in the spokesperson unit. I was the spokesperson of the 188 Brigade. It's an armored brigade. And I figured that the international media doesn't know enough about Israel. And even when it does, it's always from a weird point of view, not always 100% true. And I figured that if that's what the media knows, that's what the people of the international community knows. So I decided that it wasn't enough for me, and I'm not tired of this fight. So I moved temporarily to New York and began my studies at Columbia University. It's an Ivy League university that's ranked today, was awarded a quota and in many magazines as the most anti-Israeli and anti-Semitic university in the United States. And I figured that was the best place for me to fight for Israel, a cause that's very dear to me.
So Ophir, a young woman from Israel, from the Shomron, from the heartland, who went from the front lines in the IDF and transferred to the front lines for Israel in the Columbia University. Ophir, you mentioned a couple of things in your introduction that I'm sure our listeners would be interested hearing more about. Normally, the iconic image of the so-called settlers in the so-called West Bank, people normally see us as people who are very religious fundamentalists and so forth. But you, as you mentioned, were a leader in the Beitar movement, and you are a resident of a community that is mixed secular and religious. How would you define your identity as an Israeli?
So I am very Jewish. I am deeply Jewish, but I am secular. I don't keep Shabbat. The only reason I keep kashrut is because I'm vegetarian. But I'm deeply Jewish. I'm connected to my Jewish identity, and I feel like my Jewish identity leads me in everything I do, like everything I do in my life. But still, I'm secular, and I feel like it's a strong voice that is often not heard of people who are ideologically settlers, as people call me. I believe in the whole version of Israel, like Jabotinsky described it. But still, I'm secular. Not all my arguments derive from a religious point of view, but I am deeply Jewish, as I said. Beitar was a huge part of my life. I was a part of Beitar for 13 years, and it affected me in everything I do. Jabotinsky would always be my mentor, although he died in 1940 and I was born in 1994. But still, everything he said and does affects me. Yeah, and even here in my room in New York, I have two copies of Olamo, the book that summarizes every Jabotinsky's writing. And I still consult it whenever I'm struggled with a dilemma, with a moral dilemma.
So you are an Israeli Jewish woman who has a very strong Jewish national identity, and you are a follower of Zev Jabotinsky. And what is your feeling regarding the areas of Judea and Samaria that some call the West Bank that was taken by the IDF in 1967? How do you feel about the future of this region?
First of all, they were not taken, they were freed. I feel like Judea and Samaria, the cradle of Judaism, not just in the religious sense, but in the national sense. Judaism is not just a religion. It's more of an identity, of a national, like a national movement. So I see my Jewish identity as belonging to this Jewish nation of people who believe in the same values, who are like originate from this place, from Judea and Samaria. Well, let's be honest, in the Bible or any other source of writing that we rely on, we don't talk about Tel Aviv. We're not born in the Israeli towers. We're born in Judea and Samaria, in Hebron, in Bethlehem. This is our homeland. This is the cradle of Judaism. And that's the way we should treat it. It's not just a minor thing we can give up in order to achieve peace. And there are many things we need to do in order to achieve peace, but giving up on our identity, that's not one of them. We have to understand that we live in an area in the Middle East, in an area where standing on your own and respecting your own values is something so important, and none of our neighbors is willing to compromise on their values. So we shouldn't be the only one doing that. This is our cradle of our society. We can't just give up on the most important parts of Israel.
So basically what you're saying is, regardless to being religiously observant, you feel a very strong connection to the land of Judea and Samaria as a base to our Jewish identity.
Look, I don't think the Temple Mount and the Tomb of the Patriarch is only a religious site. It's not only a religious site. My ancestors are buried in Hebron. My people used to make a pilgrimage and go on the Temple Mount. That's not only a religious site. That's a part of my society. The people of my nation, thousands of years ago, visited those places and in some cases purchased those places in order to settle and build their society. And I can't, as a young woman in 2017, just say, okay, this is where I originated from. I'm indigenous to that land, but I'm willing to give it up for peace. I believe in peace. I think peace should be achieved. And it should be a result of us discussing with the Palestinians. It can't be something that dictated for us from every other nation. It should come from the people on the ground. But given up on my identity as a Jewish person and as a Zionist and as an Israeli, is not it never should be a part of this peace solution. I'll tell you more than that. I believe that all Jewish people should be identified as Israelis. I feel like every Jew is Israeli because we originate from this place. There is nothing to Judaism but our deep connection to the land of Israel. And I think we are losing the fight to the BDS movement and the pro-Palestinian movement because they define themselves as Palestinians. They understand that the source, the locus of their power comes from this land, and we don't do the same. We are ashamed to say, yes, we are from this place. We are the indigenous people of the land of Israel, and that's why people don't see us as such. They see us here in the universities in the United States, most prominently the liberal universities in the United States. They see us as some European colonial movement who came to colonize the land of Israel instead of what we really are, the indigenous people of this land. Like the Native Americans are indigenous to America. We are indigenous to the land of Israel. And sometimes we don't say that enough.
We are speaking with Ophir Dayan at the Front Lines for Israel at Columbia University in New York City. Right after the short commercial break, we're going to hear from Ophir how they confronted the pink washers and pinkwashed the bashers of Israel at an event at Columbia University. So come back right after this break.
The State of Israel is located in one of the most volatile and violent areas of the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order, decency, and human progress. Each week, we update you on what is happening in this, the Jewish state, the true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Tuesday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Ophir, I wanted to ask you about an event that occurred recently at Columbia University. You mentioned that you decided to go there because you saw that as one of the most anti-Israel campuses, and you went to fight on behalf of Israel. I saw a conference that was held at Columbia University for gay rights, and you and your group of pro-Israel advocates went to call out the speakers there for their hypocrisy. Can you tell us about what happened?
All right. So this event was held by Students for Justice in Palestine. It's a sub-movement of the BDS movement. They're active and their most close allies in the university are Jewish Voice for Peace. They're an organization with the same exact goals of BDS, but that's just, they can say they're Jewish, so they have more credibility. We went there to their event called LGBTQ Under Occupation. Basically, they had two main claims. First of all, that Israel is to blame from the homophobia and the way the Palestinian society treats LGBTQ individuals. And the other main claim was Israel's pinkwashing the occupation. So for your audience who is not familiar with the term pinkwashing, it's a made up term here in the U.S. that means that Israel is using the gay rights and the gay pride in Israel in order to cover for its crimes in Judea and Samaria and other areas.
So they're saying that Israel.
So we went there.
Israel. They're saying that Israel is open to gay rights as a tool to oppress the Palestinians.
Right.
Okay.
Right. They say that's the only reason we do it because we have nothing else to, you know, to be looked upon with a bright light instead of like accept of this issue of gay rights. So we manipulate gay rights in order to make people view us more fondly. So we went there because I personally have the feeling for many events that were conducted by SJP and JVP and those anti-Israeli movements. The feeling I got is that these movements were not really pro-Palestinian. They call themselves pro-Palestinian movements, but these movements are really anti-Israeli in disguise, and sometimes it even borders anti-Semitic, and sometimes it crosses that border. So I'm a part of a group called Students Supporting Israel at Columbia University. And we went there to ask them some tough questions. We don't believe in demonstrating like loudly inside the event and not giving them the opportunity to present. But we sat there and we listened to the entire presentation that was toxic, no less. And then in the Q&A section, we asked them, I read from an article in the New York Times about a Hamas commander who was convicted of homosexuality and were shot by his comrades as a punishment. And I asked them to condemn this act, because they said they're engaging LGBTQ rights in the Palestinian territory. So this guy in Gaza was shot for being homosexual. So I asked them to condemn that. I think that's a basic thing required from anyone who says he's pro-Palestinian and pro-LGBTQ Palestinian individuals. And they were not willing to condemn that. I'll tell you more than that. They tried for sending letters to Hamas prisoners in Israeli jails. That is a sheer act of supporting terrorism. There's no other way to describe it. They're sending letters to convicted terrorists.
So they are pink washing their support of terrorism by using the gay rights claim against Israel, while they refuse to call out the anti-gay terrorists in the Hamas and the Palestinian Authority.
Yeah, they're not willing to say, okay, Israel does something right. That's why I'm saying they're not pro-Palestinian. They don't care about the Palestinian LGBTQ individual. If they cared about them, they would condemn Hamas for persecuting a person for being homosexual, but they're not doing that because they're only anti-Israeli and anti-Semitic in disguise. They don't care about Palestinian rights. You don't see them demonstrating about Palestinian rights and wrongs being done to Palestinian people. They only demonstrate about things that related to Israel. They don't protest about the thousands of Palestinians being murdered in Syria. They don't care about the Palestinian immigrants that's living in poor conditions in Jordan. They don't care about them. They care only about the things that related to Israel, only about the things that can give them the opportunity to go head to head and just slam Israel.
So basically what you're saying is that these so-called these activists who are using human rights and gay rights and so forth, they really lack integrity, and they don't have any real moral standing for using the...
That's exactly what I'm saying.
I encourage our listeners to look up Ophir Dayan and her video on Facebook, and to support and learn from the perspective, from the angle that Ophir and her friends are using to support Israel at Columbia University. Ophir, I want to thank you for coming on.
I encourage you to message me if you have any further questions.
Thank you, Ophir.
I'll be glad to answer.
I will include a link to Ophir's page on the description of the show. And Ophir, I want to thank you for coming on the show, and thank you for all of the work that you do defending the state of Israel.
Thank you for having me.
Everyone, today we have a very special guest on the show. You might be surprised. I am speaking with a friend of Israel who is in Pakistan, and he is a Pakistani. He recently published an article on the Times of Israel about his appreciation for Israeli pop music and film. Sarmad Akbal, welcome onto the show.
Thank you so much, David.
I am really glad to make your acquaintance.
Thank you so much. It's an immense pleasure here too.
Well, please tell me a little bit about yourself. How old are you?
I'm around 20 years old. I'm currently an undergraduate student who is pursuing a major in economics along with a minor in political science.
That's wonderful. Where are you located?
I'm in Lahore, Pakistan. That's my city. Lahore is like the cultural capital of Pakistan and the second largest city of Pakistan.
That's amazing. Please tell me, where did you become acquainted with Israeli pop music and film?
Well, I used to search a lot on YouTube about music from different parts of the world. And one day I was looking for some song of Beyoncé. Then I came through the song of Shiri Maimon, an Israeli singer. And that song was quite amazing. It was quite enthralling, you know. The way she sang that song, it really blew me away. It really hooked me. And I was like, I should listen to more songs from Israel. And from then onwards, I started listening to Israeli music.
So tell me more about the Israeli music that you listen to. What other Israeli musicians do you know?
Well, apart from Shiri, after listening to songs of Shiri, I started watching the X Factor's Israeli version. And there were so many Israeli musicians like Moshe Peretz and Ivri Lider and so many other singers. So then onwards, I also started listening to songs of Moshe Peretz. And one of my favorite songs from Moshe Peretz is Vera Ki Taak. I may not be right with my pronunciation of that Hebrew song, but that was a song which quite enthralled me from Moshe Peretz. And apart from that, I've also been in love with songs of divas like Ofra Haza and Dana International, you know, the big names of Israeli pop culture and pop music.
This is all very interesting. I'm sure that people in Israel will be excited to hear about your love for Israeli music. How long has this been going on?
Well, it has been going on for around 3 years, approximately.
And have you published articles in Israeli websites before?
Yes, I've done those. I started with the Times of Israel, and then from Times of Israel, I came to Jerusalem Post. I published articles on Jerusalem Post, and then on Al Jamaner, which is an American Israeli newspaper. So my debut with the Israeli media and with the Israeli newspapers started with the Times of Israel on the culture and cinema of Israel, and that was quite an amazing experience, quite an eye-opener for me.
And what about your surroundings? Do people around you know that you admire Israeli musicians?
Yes, they do know that about my admiration for Israeli pop music. And I'm very fortunate that I'm surrounded by very liberal and very secular people in Pakistan. You know, the majority of populace in Pakistan is a bit conservative, but the people I'm surrounded with, they are quite liberal in their approach and orientation. So they never, you know, chided me or chastised me for listening to Israeli music. They appreciated me and they encouraged me to listen to culture, to listen to songs of different parts of the world. And they were quite happy with my approach.
Well, I'm really excited to hear about this. And I am sure that we will speak with you again in the future. Before we leave off, do you have any message to the people in Israel?
Well, the only message I've got is lots of love and lots of peace and lots of respect to you, everyone. And it's one of my biggest desires to visit your country once, especially Tel Aviv and Jerusalem and cities like Netanya. And I hope one day my desire will come true.
Well,
Thank you, everyone. Shalom.
I hope so, too. I look forward to meeting you here in Israel when you come to visit. That was Sarmad Akbal, a Pakistani who loves Israeli culture, music and film. You can read his articles in the Times of Israel and Jerusalem Post. Well, that was an exciting show. We had some really interesting people here today. As always, I look forward to hearing your feedback on the show. Please send me your comments to the comment section on Israel News Talk Radio or to any of my social media platforms. I just set up a new landing page for tours in the Shamron. You can find that on my webpage, haivri.com, in the Shamron Tours section. And you can contact me through the webpage as well. Of course, please do share the show with your friends and let them know about A Hebrew in the Heartland. Until next week, next Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, this is David Haivri. Shalom from the Heartland of Israel.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio. Straight talk from Israel.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.